Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
How many of y'all like to start something new? My wife is the queen. She's sick today. Y'all pray for her. But my wife is the queen of starting something new. She likes to change things all the time and drives me nuts because I'm kind of a creature of habit. I like things the way I like them. But if you like, I used to start a diet every Monday morning. By Monday evening, I was kind of really off the diet. You know, I thought, pizza? Yes, I want that. That's what I want. But you know, I started eating better. I started working out a little bit better. Do you know that gym memberships go up like 100% during the month of January? But usually after the holidays, everything kind of just goes back to normal, goes back to usual, goes back to the typical. And it usually goes back to the expected behavior that we had the year before. 8% of New Year's resolutions actually stick. 80% are over with by February. Come on, get an amen on that one. Some of them don't even last a month. But I'm going to ask you a question. Is that what you want for 2025? We only have a few more days left in this year, and you might ask your question, how has 2024 been for you? Maybe it's been a great year. Maybe it's been a year that, man, I'm just, oh, man, I wish I had every year was like 2024. Or maybe it's been one that you want to forget, the one you want to leave behind. And I just asked you the question. I got a lot of questions this morning. I sound like my wife. Do you want 2025 to be just another year? I saw this and I thought it was very impactful, but I'm going to encourage you to be out here Wednesday night for corporate prayer. We're going to be a little special. We're going to do communion. We're going to have some worship. But how you leave one season determines how you enter another season. How you leave one season determines how you're going to go into the next one. So I'm going to ask us to be worshiping on January 1st. I'm going to ask us to worship all the time. But I'm really to come together in corporate worship. And it really does matter how you leave one season and enter the next one. The title of my message today is Renewed. Our life consists of three things. Our years consist of three things. There's the past, there's the present, and then there's the future. Let's talk about the past. Philippians 3:13 says this. I do not count myself to have apprehended. It means he's not quite there yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Things that are behind. A lot of times the past is one of the hardest and crippling things to get over and to deal with in our life. Can I get an amen on that one? We spend more time in the past than we do in the present. Or in the future. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. I love to say those. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. They keep us chained to yesterday and not living for today. But you don't understand. You might say, Pastor, you don't understand what they did to me. You don't understand my situation. You don't understand my circumstances. You just don't understand. Well, Isaiah 43:25 says this. Even I am he who blots out your transgressions for my sake. Sometimes you got to blot things out for your own sake. And I will not remember your sins. Unforgiveness, bitterness, anger are the ones that keep us in bondage. Most of the time it's with our family. Most of the time it's with the closest people that have around us. But they keep you in bondage. And you know what else keeps us in bondage? What did I do? When you start thinking about and rehearsing in your past how many times you messed up, how many times you should have done this or you could have done that and you didn't do this, driving with the rear view mirror gives you very little vision. Come on, you can't drive with that little tiny rear. You have to drive with the windshield. You have a lot more to look at when you do that. So many times we spend so much time looking in the rear view mirror that we cannot even see what God wants to do on the full view of our whole lives. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about out there. With forgiveness comes healing. There is a time, and I know this sounds easy, and I've had to talk to my own self about it in my own situations, but there's a time when you just have to let it go. You give it the frozen song, you just have to let it go. Because most of the time, and I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, most of the time, unforgiveness and bitterness is only killing you. So many times, maybe many people have already moved past everything. They're not even thinking about it anymore. But yet again, you're sitting here stewing in it. You're sitting here thinking about it. You're sitting here living it over and over and over again. I like what it says in that verse. It says, but one thing I do. It proves to me that it can be done. And you know, you may ask why. Sometimes we just got to remember how good God's been to us. So many times we rehearse about how bad, all the bad things in our life. But let me tell you something again. You shouldn't be sitting here today. Come on. I shouldn't be standing up here today. God has been so good to me. He's been so good to you. He has worked upstream in many areas of your life that you don't even know where he protected you from. Can I get an amen on that one? Sometimes you just have to know, man, where I'm at. Where I'm at now may not be the perfect scenario for your life. But if you think about it, it's much better than it was back there. Come on. Then we live in the present. Verse 13 says, I do not count myself to have apprehended. What Paul is saying there is we don't have it all together yet. Sometimes we have to lay down our pride and just say, man, you know, I just don't have it all together. I mean, I do that every day. Come on, do y'all do that too, y'all? Man, you guys are perfect out there. This is awesome. We don't have it all together. And if you do, then you don't need the altar call for later. But being comfortable brings complacency. There's always more of God. That he never runs out. If you want more, all you have to do is ask more. All you have to do is seek more. All you have to do is knock more. There is more of him. We get the tip of the iceberg with God. And so many times God's saying, hey, if you'll just take that extra step into where I want you to go, I'm about to open up a whole new world for you and me in that relationship. There's always more of God and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. We have to keep going forward. Staying still, standing still is not an option in this Christian run. Even though we want to, so many times we feel like we take two steps forward and three steps back, we still need to continue to go forward and everything. God, there's going to be a time when there's going to be a breakthrough happen in your life. It may not be on your timing, it could be on his timing, but a lot of times we stand so, God said, man, if they would have took two more steps, I would have shown them what I want. But we stand still because of fear. Because of pride, because of a lot of things in our lives. Let's look at verse 14 again. It says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. There was a woman who had been sick for many years, and she heard Jesus was coming to town. And here she got into her mind, she had an issue of blood, and she got into her mind, she says, if I can only... Come on, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I don't have to have him lay hands on me. I don't have to have him do. If I could just grab hold of Jesus just for a minute, I would be healed. She pressed through the crowd. This was a sickly woman who could barely move, but she said, I got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to the one that I know can heal me. Listen, Jesus was her goal, and it should be our goal too. If money and position and fame and earthly things are your goal, then you're going to be very, very disappointed one of these days. I like a little money. Y'all can throw a 20 if you want to. I said it a couple weeks ago. But that's not my prize. We have an upward and a higher calling. We are not called to just barely make it. I remember back in the day when I went to country church and they say, I got a cabin on a hillside. And y'all heard that song? And one day I stood up and said, you know what? I ain't got a cabin. I got a mansion. I ain't going to settle. So many times we settle, but we are seated in heavenly places with God. We are a citizen of God. We need to start living like we're joint heirs with Jesus. We serve exceedingly, abundantly above God. And so many times we live our lives so mediocre. We live our lives so low. We live our life just barely making it. And God said, no, baby, I got something better for you. We need to go forward. I have a future. Here, when we're talking about God's chosen people, Israel, in the past they had been free, and then they'd been freed from Egypt's bondage, and they were living in the promised land. They were living in the place where they were supposed to be living. But disobedience and turning away from God, they allowed idols to come in. They allowed sin to come in and creep in, and it turned them away from God and put them back in bondage. Presently, in Jeremiah 29:11, you know this, they've got a tattoo of it. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. There are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope, even though they were sitting in their bondage. Listen, somebody got to hear this. Even though they had sinned, even though they had turned their back on God, God was still speaking life into them. I got news for you this morning. God has a great plan for your life. God has a good plan for your life. God has one. He hasn't forgotten about your plans. So many times we thwart our plans. We think God's forgot about it, or we forget about it, or we neglect it. God still has a good plan. But are you still living in the past? Are you living in the present? The choices we make now in the present will affect the future. Listen to what Ezekiel 46:9 says. But when the Lord, when the people of the land come before the Lord on the appointed feast days, whoever enters by the north gate to worship shall go out by the south gate. And whoever enters by the south gate shall go out by the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate that he came through, but you shall go out the opposite gate. When God delivers you for something, you cannot go back out that same gate. You can't. He's asking us the question, are we going to return out of the same way that we walked into a season or we walked into our life? You can't go back the same way. Why? Because the old way is familiar. Come on, y'all. You know what I'm talking about. The old way seems safer. Some people stay in addiction. Some people stay in relationships because it's safe. It's they know what they're getting into. But a lot of times what happens is we get comfortable in our captivity. They were comfortable. There were Jews that didn't want to go back because they'd gotten comfortable in their captivity. But God says this, and he used Star Trek to say it. He says, boldly go where no man has gone before. That's where he wants us to go. That's where 2025 is. He wants us to boldly go, not just timidly go, not just say, okay, it'll be another year. No, he said, I want you to take the bulls by the horn, and I want you to go into this new year on fire for me. And I want you to go a totally different direction. If you came in one way, he said, I want you to leave another. That's what we pray over this church. We want people to walk in here one way and leave totally changed. God is making a new path, and we're going to be casting some vision next week on 2025. And then we're starting that new series called Grit. I'm about to be gritty. We're going to get gritty. Not grits, but grit. So where do we start? We start by fasting and prayer. And fasting may be a new word to some. Maybe you come in here and say, oh, they're going to tell me not to eat. But I want to tell you a little bit about fasting, because we're going to start a corporate fast here in just a little, in a few days. There was a story in Mark 9 where Jesus comes onto the scene. There's a huge crowd, and the scribes and Pharisees are all arguing and with the disciples. And a father had brought his son to the disciples because he had a spirit. He had a spirit of infirmity. And this thing, I mean, made him foam at the mouth, threw him into the fire. And the dad had tried everything. So he said, I'm going to bring him to the disciples, and maybe they'll heal him. Well, the disciples tried to heal him. They tried to speak life, and they couldn't because they didn't have any success. The father wanted to see if Jesus could heal him. You know why? Because man, disciples, they'd all let him down. Sometimes we put our faith too much in people instead of Jesus. When you put too much trust in the man, there you might get let down. So the father's, here's a good one. So the father's last resort was to go to Jesus. Can I ask you a question? Why is Jesus our last resort? Sometimes we go to our friends. What kind of advice you get there? Sometimes you go to your family. Sometimes you go to doctors, and I'm not against doctors, but sometimes we go to financial advisors when Jesus should have been the first option. Come on, our health would be so much better if Jesus was our first option. Our money would be so much better if Jesus was our first option. Our families wouldn't be a mess if Jesus was our first option. Sometimes we got to take it to him first because he's the healer. He's the physician. He's what you need. So Jesus said, hey, bring him to me. And he asked the father, he said, how long has this been going on? He said, ever since he was a little child. So Mark 9:23 said to this, and Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, I like this part, the father of the child cried out and said to it with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. He had lost faith because he hadn't seen any results. So many times we don't see the results of what we've been praying for in the time that we want it to happen, we lose faith, right? I think everyone in this room has a measure of faith in, because the word says that. But sometimes the problem isn't lack of faith, it's the amount of unbelief drowning out the faith. Come on, y'all, that was good. It's the amount of unbelief drowning out your faith. You have faith, but you didn't see it happen when it's supposed to happen. You didn't know the way, and all of a sudden the enemy comes in and starts messing with your mindset. God ain't gonna do that for you. That kid's not gonna be saved. You're not gonna be healed. He's a big liar. Y'all know that? He sits on the throne of lies. This world makes you think that makes you want to believe that depression is just all part of life. Anxiety and sickness are all a part of life. But sometimes you got to stop looking at the circumstances, or you got to stop looking at the symptoms and the opinions of man, because faith and unbelief are activated by what we are focused on. And we got to change our focus in 2025. All the stuff that's behind us right now this year is going to be behind us before too long. And some of y'all don't need to be dragging, I'm talking to me too in the name of Jesus, don't need to be dragging stuff from 2024 into 2025. You got to leave it behind and let it go. Faith and unbelief are activated by what we're focused on. The enemy is still going to talk. Negative thoughts, we're still going to continue because we live in a fallen world. But we have to learn to ignore the voices. We have to learn all the distractions and everything around us so God's voice can become louder than the enemy's voice. So many times we have so many, I'm not getting ahead of myself. The enemy will still try to hit replay of your past every single day if you'll let him. He wants to rewind that in your mind all day, every day. We have to change our focus and see how God sees us. If God is in charge of heaven and earth, then we need to live like we're citizens of heaven on earth. Come on, he's our Father. He owns everything. We are his children. That ought to make you excited that we're joint heirs with Jesus. We got it all together, right? And even though you might not feel like your life is all together, you are a child of the King. Look at Mark 9:28. And when he had come into the house, the disciples, this is after the fact, he'd healed the boy. He says, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Some things call for drastic measures. Listen, with expectation comes preparation, it comes work. If you want to see change happen, if you want to overcome something, if you want to see things happen in your life, you have to do some training. Part of that training is through praying and fasting. We all want a 6-pack right here, right? I've been working on it. I think I still got a 12-pack. But we want instant abs. Don't you remember the thing you used to show years ago? Hey, instant abs. You do it, show 10 crunches, and all of a sudden you look like this guy. It don't work. We want to get in shape spiritually. I'm not talking about round. I wish it was that easy. I wish diet and exercise was that easy. I wish we could just all of a sudden be in shape just like that, right? It usually takes preparation and expectation of a goal that you want to get to. I think that if we're going to get our minds and our bodies and our souls and our spirits all in line, we have to develop new mindsets. We have to develop our prayer life. We have to start fasting. Let's fix our attention on 2025. And if we intentionally change what we give attention to, we will see different results. We're starting our regular fast on January the 5th, and it's going to go through the 26th, and it's going to be a corporate fast. At the end of that last Sunday, we're going to do a communion service to just kind of put it all together. But fasting, many times in the Bible, a fast was called, and I'm just going to read some of these. Jade was so great in sending this to me, but there's a seeking fast. Moses fasted for 40 days on Mount Sinai while he was seeking God's will to receive the Ten Commandments. A seeking fast is for those moments when you desire to deepen your connection with God. It's about setting aside distractions, can I get an amen on that one, to focus fully on his presence and his voice. A favor fast, Esther, where they were told her they were going to destroy all her people. She fasted before risking her life to going into the king to pray for favor. A favor fast is from the time when you need God to do what you can. Oh, this is good. What you cannot do for yourself, relying on his intervention and his grace. Here's probably the holiday fast. It's called a slump fast. After all the carbohydrates we've eaten in the last month, You've probably been feeling a little bit sluggish, been feeling a little bit down, been feeling like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to this fast because I ain't eating nothing for at least a day. But a slump fast, Elijah was discouraged and he was exhausted. So he fasted for 40 days and was rejuvenated with God's presence. A slump fast is when you feel stuck in a spiritual rut, seeking renewal and refreshment from God to restore your passion and your purpose. Oh, let's talk about Jesus. Jesus, before he did anything in his ministry, he went out into the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days and he fasted for 40 nights. At the end of it, it said he was hungry. He was tempted. When he came out of that fast, he started doing miracles. I think that when we talk about fasting, I think there's breakthrough when we get to the place where that wilderness sometimes is a good place to be. That wilderness is sometimes a good place so you can get rid of all of the distractions, everything that's been bogging you down. And Jesus knew he had a mission. So if Jesus fasted, it must be important for us. Chris Hodges said this. He's the pastor of a church in Alabama, mega church. He said a true fast is pushing the food plate back. He said, I remember when I was on my fast, he said, I was on a 21-day fast. He said, I often did some 40-day fasts, but every time my stomach rumbled, he'd say, thank you, Jesus. Every time he said, I felt those hunger pangs, he would say, thank you, Jesus. I know that breakthrough is coming on the inside of that. And there's different kinds of food fast. I remember when I first moved to Louisville and I had a new job. I was out of a 20-year marriage and I just really didn't know what direction to go into. I was lost. I thought God was done with me. So you know what? I said, I'm going to go on a 21-day fast. I did the last 10 of them, nothing but water. Where I was living, they make White Castles right across the road from it. Every day I came, I don't even like the white, they're okay. But when you haven't eaten nothing hardly for 21 days, those White Castles were smelling so good. Every time I had to turn around, I was like, oh Lord, I don't know if I can make it or not. But there was such a breakthrough that happened in that 21 days that God did something. He encouraged me again. He told me, he said, I'm not done with you yet. There is something else that I've still got planned for you. And I think that on the inside, if we don't give up, me and Pastor Mindy, if you look back, there were some pictures of us back when we first started. We fasted like 15 times. Every time we turn around, she'd say, look, we need to start another fast. I was like, girl, can we eat something, please? But let me tell you the breakthrough we saw. We would get done with a Daniel fast and she would come, let's go on a 3-day full fast. Let's do this. But we saw things happen. There are some things that fasting is actually good for your body. I mean, if you look it up to it, doing a full reset of your body is good for you. But let's think about over this period of time, do we want to do a full fast? A Daniel fast is one where you just do fruits and vegetables and start thinking about the days that you want to do that during that time or even the meals. What are the foods that you can give up that will hurt you the most? If you don't eat breakfast, don't say, I'm giving up breakfast. I don't like breakfast. So if I gave up breakfast, that would be nothing good for my fast. But really dig into it. I like pizza at 9 o'clock at night. So there's the one I'm going to have to give up right there. Give up something that hurts that you can remember what it is. But that's not just a time to give up food. It's a time to acknowledge God in the thing. Like Chris Hodges said, every time my stomach rumbled, I was recalling what God was doing in my life and what my goal was. Fasting without prayer is a diet. We must pray more. I don't say we should pray more for 21 days. We should pray more, period. I'm not getting ahead of myself. Consecration means to dedicate to a sacred purpose. How do we spend our time? I looked this up. The average screen time daily for an American, this is not even another country, American, 6 hours and 40 minutes a day. Gen Z can be as high as almost 9 hours a day. Think about it. We sleep 7 to 9 hours a day. That's almost a full week, full day of the week that we're on our screens. Pastor V sent this to me. She said, there was a time that God called Pastor Vonda, shouldn't have put it there, to fast social media. And as she was on social media, another pastor was saying, fasting social media is not a real fast. She was conflicted. However, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to her and said, when you go on social media, what do they call it? He said, your feed. You are still, I was going to get her to do it. She could have probably done it a little bit better, but you are still consuming something, not me. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Social media will have you begging for crumbs when the Lord has set a table before you. So good, Pastor V. She said, a side note, this was the fast that led me to becoming the youth pastor here at the church. When he calls you to do something, go do it. When we start thinking about the things that can happen in our lives, it's only through prayer and fasting that we're able to access the secret things of God. I'm going to ask you if y'all would stand with me. Let's make 2025 not just another year, but a new year. And I'm going to ask you to start thinking and start praying. No, start praying first and then thinking, because then God will give you the answers about how you can access this through our corporate fast. Because I can tell you there's breakthrough on the other side. God is just looking for us to take that step in Him. So we'll be talking a little bit more about it next week on Vision Sunday. But what could change in our life if we were to change the things in our life? Would our mindsets change if we got up every morning and said, God, I'm going to give you the first 45 minutes to an hour of my time? I've been trying to give God about 30 minutes, not just in what I'm preparing here, but I'm talking about just reading the Word and praying and listening to worship music. And I feel like that's been a little bit of a breakthrough for me, because I woke up in the morning and said my little, I'm being honest this morning, y'all, said my little daily Jesus prayer and started working on my message, and then felt like that was good enough. God said, no, you need to feed your soul, not with just what you're feeding them. Had taken inventory of myself. I think that's what we need to do nowadays. We just need to take an inventory of how we spend our time, the things that we do, places we go. But if you've never accepted Jesus, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And praying a prayer and believing in your heart, that's the start of this journey with Jesus. So in your own words, you can say, I confess with my mouth that I've sinned, I've messed it up, I've made mistakes, but will you please forgive me of my sins? Then when you say, I believe in my heart that you died for me and you are the Son of God, will you take control of my uncontrollable life sometimes? God, I need you to walk with me each and every day. I need you to be with me each and every day. If 2025 is going to be a year of change, it's going to be a year of stretching. It's going to be a year of challenging us to step out, step up. And I believe as we corporately do this, as they get ready to sing this song, let's make our way around this altar. If you need prayer for any reason, the prayer team will be on the left and the right, and they'd love to pray with you and agree with you. But I'm going to ask you to come up here on this last Sunday in 2024. And let's gather around here. They're going to sing a song, I Plead the Blood. I love this song. If there's something you need the blood pleaded over this morning, come down here. Let's corporately. Sometimes things happen together in a corporate situation. Come up front. Step out of your comfort zone. And let's see what God can do.
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.